Blues tonight. I'll never forget the story I read. And every time I think of Hebrews, I think of this story. Woke up one morning and the wife told her husband, she said, "You make the coffee this morning." And he said, "Honey," he said, "that's your job." And she said, "Well, the Bible says it's your job." And he said, "Where in the world you get that?" He said, "Hebrews." Yeah, I guess. Now that's kind of stretching it real hard. But folks do, you know. Amen. Look into the book of Hebrews. I love these verses. I've preached from them many times. It was Brother Hart's. He was going to be preaching tonight, but he had to take his wife to the hospital. Do keep them in your prayers. I believe God's got a victory for us. God's got a miracle for us. We need several miracles around here, and God's in the miracle-working business. Anybody believe that tonight? I don't think God's abdicated the throne, and I don't think he's lacking in any of his power. As a matter of fact, I believe what Hebrews said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it then, he can do it now. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that tonight. Glory to Jesus. All right. Reading this first verse, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." An interesting note that I wrote in my Bible here today. It's the word race comes from the word agon. Agon means agony. That's where we get the word agony. If you've ever run a race, sometimes, if you're serious about it, it can be agony. Amen. You get to the end of it, you don't feel like you've got anything left, but you reach down inside of you and you press on a little harder than you ever pressed before. Amen. There's a little agony involved. Folks, we're involved in some agony tonight. I'm not going to tell you it's a smooth road. I'm not going to tell you it's an easy way. I'm not going to tell you it's a life that you get the Holy Ghost and coast into heaven. There's going to be some agony involved. Amen. But it's worth it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I think we'll give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about running the race with winning on your mind. Amen. It's one thing just to run a race. Amen. But it's another thing with winning on your mind. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I got winning on my mind tonight. Praise God. I don't like to lose. Now, matter of fact, the times that I usually, when I've lost in my life, I'm ready to go again right now. If I didn't get it that time, let's try it one more time. Amen. I believe I can do a little better next time. Amen. You got to have that spirit if you're going to make it. If you get knocked down on the road, or if you slip down on the road, or if you fall down on the road, or if you get shoved down, knocked down on the road, you got to get back up and see, I ain't giving up and I ain't giving in because I got women on my mind. Hallelujah. Somehow we got to make it on this journey. Amen. I was reading a story about a man. His name is Lieutenant Colonel of the U.S. Air Force, John Clark Alberts. He tells the story when he was a very young boy. He was with his mother at a Decoration Day parade in Newark, New Jersey. And he saw some elderly men coming by, and they were wearing old, worn-out blue coats and worn blue trousers. And as they walked by, they kind of stopped. And one of the men called him over, and he said, "Sonny," he said, "come over here for just a minute." Little boy looked at his mom. She nodded yes. He walked over. One of those men reached out, and he said, "I want you to shake a hand." Amen. He said, "We're only two handshakes away from the revolution." "What in the world are you talking about?" Amen. He said, "When I was a little boy," he said, "my mama took me to a parade." And he said, "And I shook the hand of a man that fought in the Civil War. I mean, in General Washington's army." He said, "I fought in the Civil War." He said, "Where you're only two handshakes away from the beginning of the revolution." Amen. Two handshakes away from a revolution. Amen. That's pretty young, isn't it, folks? You think we've been around a while? Not that long. Just two handshakes away from the revolution. He said, "Before I die, I'm going to find me a young boy somewhere." He said, "And I'm going to shake his hand. And I'm going to say, 'Son, you just shook a hand, and we're only three handshakes away from the revolution.'" What are you saying? He said, "I'm going to pass something on here. Amen. I don't want this to stop with me, but I'm going to pass it on to another generation." Yes, amen. Let me tell you something here tonight. Some folks say, "Well, when did the United Pentecostal Church begin?" That's not even the question. The question is when all this began. Amen. It's not about the merger in 1945. It's not about Azusa Street in 1906. It's not about the outpouring in Topeka, Kansas, 1901. It goes all the way back to the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of the Lord was poured out. Amen. When the day of Pentecost, say it with me, was fully come. Get it with me now. And they were all in one place with one mind and one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible said when it was noised abroad, people began to come to Solomon's porch, and they were amazed. Some said, "These men are drunk." Peter said, "Not like you think." He didn't deny his drunkenness. He said, "Yeah, I'm under the influence. But it's not alcohol. It's pure Holy Ghost. It's 100% proof Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. He said, "You never had a drink like this drink. And you've never been under the influence like this influence." Hallelujah. You know what I believe tonight? I believe that if one of the apostles walked in this sanctuary, they'd feel right at home. Hallelujah. They'd when they see us clapping their hands, that's the way we used to do it. Hallelujah. You do a victory march, that's the way we used to do it. Somebody shouts a little bit, yeah, that's the way that we used to do it. Hallelujah. We're still preaching Jesus' name, baptism for the remission of sins, and filling of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues, and the lifestyle of holiness and separation from the world. That's an apostolic message. That didn't start with the United Pentecostal Church. That didn't start with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in 1901. That goes all the way back to the upper room. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're still doing it tonight, folks. We're still in the race. Hallelujah. I don't know where, I don't know where you got the baton. I don't know who passed it on to you. Somebody said somebody somewhere said, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Hallelujah. Now it's your turn. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got something going on here that's got to keep going on. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's something more important than just filling up a building with a bunch of people. There's something more important than getting your name in the newspaper. There's something more important than people saying, "Woo, my, look at how that church is growing over there." Amen. My, what do y'all got? What are y'all doing? How many activities do you have? What kind of activity center do you have? Do you have a bowling alley? Racquetball room? Amen. And what you got going over there? I'll tell you what. Somebody said, how are they going to compete with that? I'm going to tell you how you compete with that. Amen. You just get under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, there's nothing in this world that can compete with Holy Ghost. Oratory cannot compete with the Holy Ghost. Great musicians cannot compete with the Holy Ghost. Great choirs cannot compete with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Television evangelism cannot compete with the Holy Ghost. Nothing competes or compares to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. You can bring them on, friend, one after the other. Amen. That the world loves and the world knows. And they can come in and sing a song for Jesus now and sing in the bar later tonight. Everybody, ooh, my, so-and-so, doesn't he sing? You know, he sang in the church this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Not necessarily. Where's he singing tonight? Oh, my, so-and-so, did you hear? They said something about Jesus the other day. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, what have they been talking about since then? If it's Jesus with one breath and cursing with the next, or worldliness with the next, amen, hey, that's not anything that's going to impress the world. It might impress a few folks in a so-called church somewhere, but that doesn't impress the Lord. It seems to me like when I read it, it said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Amen. It's not talking about yodeling a little bit, getting a pocket full of money here and a pocket full of money there, but it's talking about loving him with everything you got. And when you see me coming, I got him on my mind. When you see me praying, I got him on my mind. When you see me shouting, I got him on my mind. When you see me working, got him on my mind. I've got Jesus. I got him on my mind. Amen. Friend, I'm telling you about how to run a race here with women on your mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When we get in this, every time we come to this church, we need to make up our minds as if it was our last time. As if the trumpet's going to sound before the service is over. Hallelujah. When we get to singing, let's sing with all we got. When we get to praying, let's pray with all we've got. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Whoop. Praise God. I feel like meddling a little bit. The devil is a master of distraction. He loves to distract people. Amen. Praise God. You know, right in the middle of a service, he'll stop putting things in your mind. Amen. You know what? You sure are getting thirsty. You probably need a drink. You probably won't make it through the service if you don't get up right now and go get one. Praise God. Now folks, I'm serious. Some distractions we need to avoid. Is that all right? Amen. Praise God. I've learned, I don't know, I used to hunt a little bit, and I know it's a lot harder to hit a moving target. Amen. That is somebody sitting still. Amen. Praise God. And so if you'll just sit still, the Lord can get a mark on you. Amen. And he can send it right to the heart, exactly what you need. But sometimes it's hard to hit a moving target. Amen. We need to learn how to do what the scripture said. Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let your thoughts run free. I said, don't let your thoughts run free. Don't let your thoughts run free. Amen. You can be sitting on a pew tonight, and you can be 10,000 miles away, skiing somewhere in the mountains, the Alps or somewhere. Amen. Praise God. You can be sitting on a church pew and riding the Big Ben at Six Flags. Amen. You can be sitting on a church pew and making out with your boyfriend somewhere. You can be sitting on a pew and you can be paying bills tomorrow and worried to death how you're going to do it. Huh? Yeah, you can be sitting, you can do it. People take all kinds of trips while sitting on a church pew. Amen. But I'm going to tell you how to win. You gird up the loins of your mind. That means you gather every thought in. Amen. Praise God. In the New Testament times, you know, men wore robes back then. And so robes were full and flowing, and they would wear this band of material around the waist. And so when they were going to be going somewhere and they didn't want to be tangling up in everything they passed by, hanging up on every weed that they passed by, they would gird that up. They'd gather it in and then put that around their waist and then hold it tight to their body so that they weren't always getting hung up on something. Huh? Does that sound familiar? Now, does that make sense? Amen. You know, that's when we need to gather in our thoughts, because we're always getting hung up on something. Amen. Can't get away from this. Amen. But if you gird up the loins of your mind and your focus is Jesus Christ, and your focus is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hey, why worry about something else? He's the answer. Why try to find another solution? He is the solution. He is the answer. Hallelujah. Amen. You won't solve your problems by worrying about your problems. You'll solve your problems by seeking the face of the Lord. And He can give you the answer. Hallelujah. I don't know anybody that's ever solved a problem by worry. I know some folks got ulcers from that. I don't know of any that ever got found an answer. Amen. So you gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. Get your focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. Just stay in the saddle. Amen. Just stay in the saddle. Praise God. Once preaching starts, you know, we need to find a place and say, now it's time. The Lord's going to speak to me here tonight, and I need to hear it. Amen. And if you don't want to, maybe your neighbor does. Maybe somebody that desperately needs to hear from God. Amen. And we just need to sit with it, folks, and stay through it. Amen. Praise God. Now, that night we meddled and took my shoes off, didn't hurt anybody. But you barely felt it. Amen. Praise God. But it's focus. Focus on the Lord. Keep your mind on Jesus. We started the service. Get your mind on Jesus. Get your mind on Jesus. Get your mind on Jesus. You know, that's what that prayer room's for. Amen. Right over here to the left, there's a men's prayer room. Right over there's a ladies' prayer. That's what that's for. Before church starts, you get in there and you get to get your mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And when service starts, you're still not going all over the landscape. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise God. Well, I don't want to meddle a whole lot here tonight. I'd like to somebody to get something out of this. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the scripture said very plainly, he said, when we run this race, he said, we got to lay aside some things. There are some things that not necessarily are sin, but they're hindrances. You run a race with a weight that's unnecessary, you're handicapping yourself. You're unnecessarily wearying yourself. You are stressing unnecessarily yourself. Amen. Because you're running with a weight that's not necessary. You know, with the best teacher of that's the Holy Ghost. He lets us know what to lay aside. Anybody believe that? So the Holy Ghost knows how to tell us what to set aside. Amen. This is hindering you. This is bothering you. So let's just lay that aside. Amen. Well, brother so-and-so does it. Well, fine and good, but it's hindering you. It's hindering me. But sister so-and-so, or this one does that. That's not the important thing. The thing is it hindering you? Is it a weight to you? Is it something that's necessary for you? There are some things we lay aside just simply because, hey, I'm running this race and I got winning on my mind. I said, I got winning on my mind. Hallelujah. I want to make it all the way to the other side. I'm running this race with winning on my mind. And he talks about, he addresses a particular sin. I think the reason that it's said that way is because people have different areas of life where they're tempted. Not everybody's tempted by the same things. Something that one person would never be tempted by, another person may be severely tempted by. And so you lay aside those things, those areas that you know are temptation to you. Amen. You know that you cannot handle some things that perhaps somebody else, because of the way they're made up. But let me just remind you, everybody struggles with something. I said everybody struggles with something. Don't you ever get the idea, well, so-and-so, he don't ever struggle. Yes, he does. He just doesn't let you know about it. But he battles some areas of life. He struggles with some things, but he lays it aside and he presses on. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But say with patience. Yeah, you got to be patient. This is not a sprint that's going to be over with in just a few minutes. Amen. I've seen people start living for God as if they were running just a 100-yard dash. They started out fast. Man, they left everybody in their dust. They were eating it up, and then all of a sudden they were out. They had no more resistance. They had no more strength. Amen. You got to have some patience to run this race. Amen. You got to have some patience to run this race. Amen. Because we're in this for the long haul. I don't know how long it's going to be. It's already been longer than I thought it would have. Anybody else willing to admit that tonight? Didn't you think we'd already have gone in the rapture? But you know what? I'm not discouraged. Hallelujah. I'm not disappointed. I'm just running, and I still got winning on my mind. Hallelujah. If he didn't come today, he might come tomorrow. If he doesn't come tomorrow, it may be a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or 25 years. Doesn't matter to me. As long as I've got breath, I'm still going to be running with winning on my mind. Got to run with patience. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people make the devil's job easy. Because I've heard people say, well, you know, as long as that doesn't happen, I can make it. Well, guess what? You just told him what your price is. You just told him what your price is. Have you got to make up your mind that there's nothing in this world that's going to stop me on this journey. Amen. Praise somebody said, I don't know if I could bear that. I'm going to tell you how you can bear it. His grace is sufficient for thee. And when you get there, grace will pick you up and grace will give you strength that you did not have on your own and help you to go on farther and faster and stronger than you ever thought that you could. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's when grace kicks in. Amen. Hallelujah. So you got to run this race with patience. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, and run with patience the race that is set before us, the agony that is set before us. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, it gets tough sometimes running this race. Your heart's going to be broken running this race. You're going to run a lot of miles with tears in your eyes. Yes, you are, but you got to run on. You're going to have sometimes you're not going to say anything, but you're going to have some feelings in your heart. God, why in the world am I going through this? I thought you loved me. Amen. But you know what? I'm going to keep running. I don't know why. I don't have an explanation. All I know is I got to keep running because I got a goal. Amen. I'm going to make it somehow in some way. Hallelujah. Amen. And if I can just get one foot inside of glory, it's going to be worth it all. You're going to run this race with some agony in your heart and some agony in your mind, but run on. Hallelujah. I think the real key to the whole thing is this verse that says, looking unto Jesus. That's what you got to do. Amen. Jake, and that's, I don't know what his real name is, but that's the name I'm going to give him tonight. He was running on a mile relay team. Now the thing about a relay team is that it's a team, and everybody has a part. It's broken into four segments, and the person starts out, the one that starts, he starts out with a baton, and he gives it everything he's got. He runs as hard as he can, and then when he gets to the quarter mark, he passes that baton off to the next fella. And the next guy reaches back and he slaps that in his hand. And then he gets a hold of it and he runs as fast as he can, just as fast as he can, to the next turn. And then when he gets there, there's another fella and he sees him and he takes off and he slaps that baton in his hand. And that's what happened to Jake. He was the third runner. And he'd done this so many times, and somebody put the baton in his hand and he got a hold of it, but something happened and he looked down and he didn't have a baton in his hand. He dropped it somewhere. So he whirled around and he went back and he ran back to where it was and he reached down to get it. He just thought, if I could get it, I may not win, but I'm going to run as fast as I can. But when he did that, he accidentally kicked it out into the middle of the field. And he was disqualified. But you know what? Jake was a winner. He said, I don't get to finish this race. He said, but you know what? He said, I'll do my best to not ever let anything like that ever happen to me again. And so that year he practiced like he never practiced. He ran like he'd never ran. He set his mind to being the very best. Let me tell you, when you're running on a relay team, the fastest and the strongest and the best is going to get the baton last. And you know what? He moved up from third place to fourth. He was the anchor man. This is it. Now, son, when you get it this time, there's nothing between you and the goal but the goal. Amen. And they were running in Memphis, and it was the meat of the year. And they'd gone through all of the other things in the event. They'd gone through the high jump and the broad jump and the shot put and the discus and all of that. And the coach and the team said, Jake, it's all up to you, son. If you win this race, we're going to win this whole thing. Amen. So the race began, and the first runner ran just as fast as he could, but it wasn't fast enough. There were some faster runners. He hammed it off, and the second runner ran as fast as he could, but he couldn't make up the difference. There were still some people in front of him, and the third man did the best he could, but there were still runners that were passing him. I mean, they were good, and finally, they put that baton in the hand of Jake. He got a hold of it, and friend, he took off as fast as he possibly could, and he started making some headway. He was pushing as hard as he could push. He started passing some that had passed his teammates. Finally, there was only one person ahead of him, and he was giving it all that he had, but he was just about out. He said, I don't think I've got any more. And all of a sudden, he passed his parents in the stand, and they said, come on, Jake, you can make it. And he tried, but he said, I don't have any more. He saw his teammates. They were jumping up and down. down and they were hollering and they were saying, come on, Jake, you can make it, son, but I don't have any more. I've got all that I have. And all of a sudden he saw that old coach standing out there that never got excited about anything, and he was jumping up and down and he was saying, I've got faith in you, son. I know you can do it. You've got a little bit more. Reach down and get it. And when he saw that old coach, he got a hold of something he didn't know that he had. And he stretched forth, and 1 foot and 2 foot and 3 feet, he began to catch up. And finally, as he gave everything he had, stumbling into the finish line, he won the whole race by 1 inch. But he gave it all. He gave it more than he knew he had. Because he looked over and he saw that man that trained him, that man that had confidence in him, that man that had shared his life with him, that man that told him, you can do it. You can do more. You know, the man that didn't give up when he messed up the first time, but gave him another chance. He said, you can make it. And gave him confidence, you're going to be the last in this race. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. That's why you got to get your eyes on Jesus. The encouragement of your pastor may mean something to you. Encouragement from your brothers and sisters means something to you. Encouragement from your parents means a lot to you. But there's nothing in this world like looking up and seeing Jesus and hearing him say, you can make it. My grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Just keep on. Amen. We're running a race tonight. Do you have winning on your mind? It seems that some people almost run this race, and every day they think about dropping out. Heaven, every day. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. Let me tell you something. You need to get a winning on your mind attitude. You got to understand something. Amen. You got to understand tonight that this thing has already been predetermined. I said this is already being predetermined. Amen. You've already been made a winner. It's not whether you can make it or not. You can make it. Hallelujah. Amen. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, 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 hallelujah. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. For I am persuaded. Everybody, you got to be persuaded tonight. Amen. You got to be persuaded. You got to have a made up mind about this journey that you're on. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord, you got to have a made up mind. That's a winning mind. Amen. 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 Do you know how to be more than a conqueror? Yeah, we're more than conquerors. The way you're more than the conqueror is the game's been rigged. It's been tilted in your favor. All you got to do is finish. Whoever heard of a race that to win all you got to do is finish? You don't have to finish first. You don't have to finish fast. You don't have to finish before anybody else. All you got to do is finish. If you want to win the race, just finish the race. That's all you got to do. Amen. I believe we can. How many believe we can do that tonight? Yes. I believe we can finish tonight. Amen. Because if God be for us, he said, who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. As Jake lay there on that track, all of his energy had been depleted. All of his strength was gone. He's gasping for breath. People are cheering. And everybody's trying to praise him and give him a little thanks and adulation. And all of a sudden, the old coach walks over. And all he says, good job, Jake. And that's what he said. He said, good job, Jake. Amen. You know, one of these days, I'm going to hear something real similar. Well done. Yes. Yes. You know what? You know what that means? You know what that means in modern English? Good job. Good job. That's all. That's what you need to hear. Amen. It's not going to be a whole lot of praise, a whole lot of glory. Amen. Just good job. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. That's enough. Calm down. Amen. I get excited, the microphone gets excited. Amen. Just good job. That's what we're trying to do, folks. You got to run this race with winning on your mind. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. With a mind made up. Hallelujah. By God's grace. By God's grace, I'm going to make it. Looking unto Jesus, the author. And everybody say, the finisher. Jesus is a finisher. He's not a quitter. He's a finisher. The finisher of our faith. You think he went through something? Amen. Do you think he went through something? It said, who for the joy that was set before him? He didn't enjoy the cross, but he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Amen. He despised the shame. Amen. But now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. From the very beginning, his mind was made up. The time Satan began to tempt him in that wilderness, his mind was made up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He survived popularity and he survived isolation. He survived when he was surrounded by adoring throngs, and he survived when he was all by himself. He survived when they were shouting his praises when he entered into Jerusalem. And he survived when his disciples slept while he prayed through the greatest agony of his life. Amen. He had a made up mind. He had a winning on his mind, and he won. Endured the cross, despising the shame. I'm telling you tonight, you're going to have some agony in your life. But you can survive. All you got to do is just win. Just finish the race. Just finish the race. Amen. Praise God. Just finish the race. Just finish the race. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Before any contest, the team gets together in a room somewhere and the coach gives them a pep talk. And he begins to tell them, now this is what you're up against, but I know what you're made out of. And I believe you can win this contest. Amen. You know why you need to be in church services? Because you need some pep talk every now and then. You need somebody. When the devil's been telling you all week you can't make it, you need somebody to stand up with the word of God and say you can make it. Anybody got a made up mind here today? Amen. Won't we make our way down to this altar and let's just make some consecrations and dedications to the Lord here tonight. Amen. And devil, I want you to know something. It wasn't an easy week. Amen. I tasted some dust. I tasted some blood. I suffered some agony. But I want you to know something. I'm still here. Hallelujah. And I'm going to make it because I'm running this race with winning on my mind. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm not just running for Johnny Grissom. I'm not just running for the Grissom family, but my roots reach all the way back to an upper room in Jerusalem. My roots reach all the way back, hallelujah, to the tongue talkers at Jerusalem, to the Jesus name believers at Jerusalem, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, oh, somebody handed me a baton, said, it's your turn, son, run, run. Run the race with patience. Lay aside the weights and the sin that doth so easily beset you. Look unto Jesus, because he's the author, he's the finisher. Amen. Lest you be wearied in your mind. Yes, Lord. Amen. I'm praying tonight, God, for fresh faith in this service. I'm praying tonight, God, for some fresh inspiration in somebody's life here tonight. Somebody that's been struggling. They've been wobbling and they've been weary. They've been hearing the taunts of the enemy saying, you can't make it. You can't make it. It's not for you. You can't make it. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody in your family is running this race. You're running it all by yourself. You can't make it. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, you can. Hallelujah. You might be the very first generation in your family that's ever